My experience began in January of 1968 when I was a 19-year-old college student. At this time, while hundreds of thousands of my contemporaries were returning to college following Christmas hiatus, my educational aspirations had been dramatically interrupted by military conscription. While in basic training at Fort Lewis, Washington, I met another trainee with whom I experienced an almost instantaneous rapport. Very quickly, I learned that Dan and I shared similar interests. We both enjoyed sports, politics, political discussions, old-time movies, music, and an unlimited interest in reading. Although I have an Irish heritage, and Dan's was Hispanic, we were both raised as Roman Catholics. As young men, we served as altar boys and even considered the possibility of entering the priesthood. So in reflection, there's little wonder that Dan and I became close friends. Following our graduation from advanced individual training at Fort Gordon, Georgia, Dan and I received orders for our next duty station, the Republic of South Vietnam, as combat infantrymen. By this time, Dan and I had really developed a sense of brotherhood and continued to strengthen our friendship while spending time with one another throughout our 30-day leave prior to reporting for overseas shipment. While home on leave, I had the opportunity to meet and visit with Dan's family in Sacramento, California, and I reciprocated Dan's generosity through inviting him to meet my family in Walnut Creek, California. Once Dan and I arrived in the Republic of South Vietnam, we were very pleased to discover our assignment to the same military unit stationed at Tay Ninh, an ancient provincial capital located approximately 70 miles northwest of Saigon. Although we felt very fortunate in our assignment to the same unit that would constitute our home for our 12-month tour of duty, if we survived, we were not overjoyed to learn that Tay Ninh province was recognized as one of the most dangerous combat active areas in South Vietnam. Well, for the next 5 months, Dan and I were indeed very fortunate. We survived this savagely psychical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual devastation of a barbarous experience as we continually fought our way from one end of Tay Ninh province to the other, over and over and over again. Together, we fought our enemy in the caves and valleys of the mountains where they lived. We fought our enemy in the jungles where they all too frequently successfully set deadly ambushes. We fought the stifling heat and humidity of our days. We fought the numbing nighttime cold and the monsoon rains that kept us perpetually soaked. We fought hunger and thirst and an overwhelmingly devastating exhaustion that was so debilitating we frequently witnessed our comrades suffering grievous injuries because they were simply too fatigued and mentally numb to contemplate how to avoid the harm they experienced. We fought poisonous snakes and quicksand and the mosquitoes that constantly haunted our daily existence and the disgusting leeches that sucked the blood from our bodies. We fought the booby traps that blew off feet and legs or vaporized our comrades who tripped them. We fought in the tunnels that so terrified us that before we entered them in search of our enemy, we tied ropes around our ankles so that our comrades could retrieve our bodies if we were wounded or worse in order to prevent our enemy from savagely mutilating our remains. And as we fought and survived our experiences together, Dan and I became closer and closer in sharing the horrors and terrors and misery of war. Through our experiences, Dan knew everything about me, and I became as familiar with Dan as I had ever been with my family, or so I thought. On one particularly horrifying day, shortly after passing our fifth month in country, our unit became engaged in a horrifyingly savage firefight with a large contingent of Viet Cong soldiers. As our fight continued in intensity and our casualties continued to increase, Dan and I, along with four other soldiers, became trapped by a contingent of Viet Cong soldiers in a rice paddy. As we lay in the nasty filth of the paddy, we observed our enemy moving in on us from four directions intent on our destruction. At this point, it became very obvious that the possibility of escape or survival appeared bleak for us. Vietnam was a war of such savagery that we were well aware that surrender was not an option and that we had previously witnessed what happened to American soldiers in foolishly surrendering to the Viet Cong. So in that any chance of escape was unlikely and surrender was not an option, we agreed we would not allow one another or ourselves to be taken prisoner. We agreed we would fight our enemy until we were overrun. At this point, there wasn't any necessity in Dan and I wishing one another a final farewell. We had soldiered together through 5 months of combat. In that we were well aware of the possibility of death in combat, we had previously shared our farewell with one another. No, at this moment, my farewell to Dan had already been settled. I was actually engaged in sending a silent message to my family, my parent and five siblings, silently willing them a last communication to recognize I would be okay and that I would be watching protectively over them from wherever I was. Of course, this was a very difficult task for me, but what occurred next became even more difficult. You see, as our enemy drew closer and the inevitability of our violent death became our future reality, Dan moved close to me, and as we huddled together intent on making our final stand, he asked this question. Patrick, do you think God will send me to hell because I'm a homosexual?